Tonight, we will turn to the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, and continue our studies in the book of 2 Timothy. We'll read from verse 1 to 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Tonight I want us to think through about the necessity of sound preaching. In our previous study, Apostle Paul had reminded Timothy that while mischief and deception will be increasing, he must hold on to the persuasion he had received from the truth of Scripture, which he has learned from Scripture, since only the Bible truth that is able to lead him to salvation, which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said in verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13. He said that, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Evil men and seducers, evil will go on and persecution will continue. But Timothy should continue in the truth of Scripture. And also, Paul affirmed the inspiration of the Bible and how it is sufficient for every need of the Christian, as he says in verse 16 to 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, he affirmed that the Bible is inspired, and that it is given to meet every need of the Christian, child of God, the man of God, the preacher, and every Christian is a man of God, a woman, a man of God. We are all God's people. And the Scripture is given to us to instruct us in the way of righteousness. So now in chapter 4, Apostle Paul began by giving a serious command to Timothy concerning his work as a preacher. So as he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge thee before God. Therefore here must have reference to what he has said before. God making reference to what he has said before. It refers to the fact that he has said God has given his word, his inspired word, to make Christians capable to every good work, as he said in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And for Timothy, being a preacher, it is like verse 4 is saying that as God has equipped you with his word to teach, to reprove, to correct, and instruct in righteousness, therefore I charge thee. So if you join verse 17 to verse 1, give that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore. Therefore I charge thee, because you have the word of God to do all these things, so that now I charge thee, you have the inspired word to declare to the edification of all. You have the inspired word of God for the ministry that which every Christian needs, which will guide us in our walk of holiness, in our walk of sanctification, and our obedience to the Lord. And you, as a preacher, I charge you also have your tool. It's like a carpenter giving a work, and he has his tools. He has the skill. So Timothy too has been appointed. He has been given a gift, and now he has his tool, is the Scriptures, the inspired word of God. So Apostle Paul said, you have this, therefore I charge you. I charge you therefore before God. To charge is to testify or witness. So like now before God, I call on God the Father to be a witness who has appointed you to preach his word. Before him, I call on you to do the right thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. That is also, he is calling the Lord Jesus Christ to be a witness to the charge he's giving to Timothy. Why? Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that all judgment is committed. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, all judgment is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word, the inspired word, is from God, it's from the Father, given to us, appointed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is also the one who comes for judgment. So before these two, he now charges Timothy. It's a great charge, because the word, the inspired word, is God's own word given. As we learned the other day, God, which is, it originated from God himself, the doctrine, the teachings of scripture are from him. And if it is his word, and Timothy is to preach, and Paul is calling him to witness that Timothy will do the right thing. And also the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the judge of us all. And it's a grace, it is a great charge. So the implication here is that it is a serious command, meaning preaching is not to be taken lightly. Preaching of the light of the word of God ought not to be taken lightly, because it is a holy duty. God is holy and his word is holy, and you are called upon to preach. I mean, it's a great thing. Preachers are God's representatives. And also because every preacher shall give account of his work to God the Father, whose word he must preach, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of all. And looking at these great persons, and you stand before them to declare their word, and which you are accountable to, is a great charge he's giving to Timothy. So if the son, the father and the son are inspectors of a preacher's work, then it is a serious duty. Even in this world, when you are at the workplace and you hear your supervisor coming, you make sure everything is in order, you have put accounts, everything in order. And the preacher is now charged before the Father, the Almighty God. The Father, the Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ. The Father's Son. That they are his inspectors. It's a great charge. But this gives a serious duty for Timothy to consider. So I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Yes, at the end of the world, Christ will come and judge the dead and the quick and the dead. We are told that the dead will rise up, and those who are living will come together, and then we shall all receive judgment at that day. So Timothy must look upon that day, and that his work must stand at the day of judgment if he did the right thing. And the word that he was to preach is the word of God. But you know, though it's a serious duty and a serious charge, but you see how sadly Satan has made preaching to look like a trivial thing. Preaching of late is like the most trivial thing anybody can preach. Look at the ignorance of many street preachers. What do? You see people in the markets just phoning anything without scripture, proper scripture knowledge. They quote anything, say anything. And everybody thinks preaching, therefore, is the most common thing anybody can do. Look at the TV shows like The Pulpit that I think TV Trey was showing some time ago. Young children, girls and boys, they come and try to preach and people are applauding. But preaching is a holy work, a work. It's interesting that they don't come there to even practice how doctors are practicing or how teachers are teaching. But they come to try to demonstrate by drama how preaching is to be done. No. You see, this is the work of Satan, to undermine the work which God has ordained, that his word will go out to his people and to the world at large. Satan is so cunning, and the people also give themselves in. And look at some of the entertaining preachers in many churches. Even so many churches of late, the preachers are not different from jokers. The word of God is not. They even make a mockery about the word of God while they are preaching, and people are laughing. And then they compare with many other things. But it's a serious thing. Look at how Apostle Paul is charging Timothy before God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of preachers also make preaching as a political tool to discuss politics and discuss opinions and things of the day. They make it as if it is a tool that you can do anything with it. God ordained the preaching for his word, his inspired word for his people. So it is something that whoever will be a preacher, whoever will stand here to declare the word of God, must look that it is a charge, not only Timothy. We are all charged before God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to say and preach that which the Bible says. Not looking on what people will say, not looking at what advantages we will have or not, but to say as it is, because it's the work of God. It's a holy duty. We stand accountable to the Lord, to God the Lord, not unto man. So he said, preach the word, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Preach the word. That is, publish or proclaim the inspired word of God. That is the scripture. Preach the word, which God revealed to his holy men of old, which have been written down for instruction in righteousness. The scripture has been written down already, and the preacher is to preach from the scripture and not from anywhere. Also, to preach the word implies that to bear witness of Christ, who is the living and incarnate word, and also the life of the word. So the preacher is to bear witness of Christ, the second person of the Trinity. So many people preach the Bible, but they don't preach Christ. They are not preaching the word. Any preaching that does not direct people to Christ, that does not make the glory of Christ known to people, is not preaching. Because the Bible, as we see, is all about Christ. So preach the word implies bearing witness of Christ, who is the living and the incarnate word. It's also the life of the world. So Timothy's preaching was to focus on Christ, whose doctrine the gospel teaches. That's to preach the word, to preach Christ. His incarnation, that God has manifested himself in the flesh. That he has come to dwell among men, to manifest his glory even in human flesh. And preach also that the crucifixion of Christ, that the atoning death of Christ, the only way God has ordained for the payment of sin's debt, is the only way that God is dealing with men. And also his resurrection, that death is not the end of life, that dead Christians have hope. That when they die, they will be resurrected like Christ. Christ will bring them back again to life to be with him. And that there will be judgment after death. And his ascension, that he's now ascended. When he rose from death, he's not living on earth again. He's living, but not physically. He's living, but in heaven. And also his intercession, the work of Christ in heaven now for believers. These things must be manifested in the preaching of the word, so that believers might have hope. The doctrines of his intercession is one of the doctrines that makes believers to have their hope in Christ. Because Christ has died. He rose up from the dead. He's gone. What is he doing again? He's still working for believers. So when we meet for worship, we are sure God will hear us and be with us, because Christ is seated on his throne, watching us, seeking, looking at what we do, and we send our prayers to him. And his return, the doctrines of his return, which gives believers hope, and which makes believers to live their life as if their master has traveled, they are waiting for his return. So at every moment in time, we are discerning the time, checking our life, if we are living for the Lord. These things and many others are things that the preacher has to preach. Grounding all these things and many other things, and also the examples of Christ and his commands for the church. These are the words the preacher has to preach. So this is preach the word. Is it preach the word of scripture. This first scripture is manifesting to us. But how many preachers bring these things out and insist on them that people should believe and rest their hopes in? So many are preaching not the word. The word, Christ himself is the word of God. The whole Bible bears witness of Christ. Luke 24, 27 and 44, Acts 10, 43, the Bible tells us from the Old Testament, the books of Moses, the prophets, they all bear witness of Christ. Christ himself said that in Luke 24. And other portion of scripture also tells that the prophets all prophesied about him. And the scripture is about Christ. So I don't see how anybody can be a preacher and will not preach about Christ and his atoning death, the benefit of Christ's death for believers, and also the need for sinners to repent and rest their hopes in him. So the preaching of all the apostles was a witness of Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1-8. Look at what Apostle John told us about their preaching and what they said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto you. What did they do? They have seen it, they saw Christ physically, and they bear witness, preaching, bear witness of Christ. So that is what preachers have, they bear witness of Christ. The apostles saw him physically, and they wrote whatever they saw down. And so subsequent preachers take on and bear witness for Christ. and proclaimed his name, his glory, his triumph over sin, his triumph over Satan for us. But now what preachers are doing now, many preachers are doing, telling people rather that Satan is now the king and that believers should be afraid of Satan. Christ has overturned Satan's sin. He has had dominion over death. Now Christians should live victoriously in Christ, fearing nothing, because our times are in the hands of God, because Christ has won the victory. So preach the word. That is what they have to preach. Preach the word. A preacher's work is like a gong beater who heralds the news of his king publicly without adding to it or taking from it. I remember in the times when I used to live in the village, when I was a young boy, I remember in those times there was no internet, yes. And then I think we didn't have that public announce system. So at dawn, you hear the gong beater. When you hear his gong, he immediately you hear the sound. You hear there's a message from the chief of the town. So everybody is alert to listen. Whatever, if there's a communal event, he announces it from the. It was the chief of the town who have to bring this message. If there was an emergency meeting, so in the morning the parents would go and meet. So that was how a gong beater. And the preacher is like that. He's just phoning in what God has said. He's just phoning in what God has said without adding to it or taking from it. And it's a public work as we do, proclaiming what the mind of God to people. So the preacher is just God's servant who is sent to announce the good news from God to needy sinners. That's what the preacher does. Look at what Apostle Paul said of himself in Titus 1:1-3. He said that Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God has manifested his word through preaching, it was committed unto him, and to every preacher this word of God, the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, be promised before the world began. But he has, the message of this word of God is not committed to preaching. So the preacher's work is this, to manifest to the world that God, who cannot lie, has promised to give life to sinners, sons of Adam, who have now sinned and have no life, that there's life in Christ Jesus. That is what preaching is about. A preacher is not to peddle his own opinions or imaginations, but must preach from the Bible, grounding his doctrine as well as the instructions and counsels on Scripture alone. That's why, you know, we hold on to the Reformed views. We say Scripture alone, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. In 1 Peter 4:1, the Bible tells us, if any man speak, that is the preacher, let him speak as the oracles of God. As from the words of God, as from words of Christ, God himself to us. A preacher, that, so it's a solemn duty, it's a serious task to speak the words of God. If I do, Apostle Paul said that, Lord, he says that, woe is me if he does not preach the right. Woe is unto him if he does not preach the gospel. And as preachers, many preachers today know this, it's a woe, warning to them if they don't preach Christ. There's judgment which will come to preachers who will not make known the mind of God, yet they stand in to say they are God's servants. They are hypocrites, and that God will definitely deal with such. So the preacher is to speak, and if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It's a great thing to speak on behalf of God as well. So a preacher must preach in accordance with God's inspired word, the Bible. As preaching of the Bible is an appointment by God, then it is a serious duty for all also who hear the preaching of the word to be attentive so that all may learn what God intends to teach by every message we hear. If we, as I said, like the gong beater who comes at dawn when I was a small boy, when you hear, you want to say, hey, what does the chief have for us? If you don't listen, maybe it's something you have to prepare. There's something, emergency, if you don't listen, you lose it. But the chiefs, they always have those information, things that have been done in the communities. I said preaching of the Bible. God said it's a serious duty for hearers to also listen to the preacher and be attentive and commit themselves to the things they hear. I said preaching of the Bible because I know many people preach, but they preach false, not from Scripture. So only if it's the preaching of the word, then we ought to pay attention to, because many preach their own opinions. So for such, we owe them no allegiance. For such, they are not grounding their truth on Scripture. They are not instructed from Scripture, and we must never give attention to such. When people promote things that are not Scripture, we are not to. We don't owe them any allegiance. To be attentive to them and to do as they have said. Also, it is true we ought to examine whatever sermon we hear, if it is sound. It's the duty of every hearer, as the Bereans did. We have to examine it in light of Scripture, if it is true. By that we will know that the preacher is right. But we ought to be careful not to be overly critical, since that will not profit us. Some also, though it is good to examine, they overly critical sermons, so that at the end of the day, it doesn't profit them. It's a serious matter. So that when there's warning, when there's a rebuke, when there's counsel from a sermon, instead of us applying to ourselves, we don't do that. And then we are not profited, because we criticize every word, every line, every phrase. That was the message scriptural. That's the fact we have to put across. Some, will try to reconstruct the message the preacher have ever preached. But if it is sound and, based on Scripture, we owe allegiance to obey what is said. So that whatever warning or rebuke or counsel that the sermon was meant, we shall benefit from it. Some have the tendency to apportion the message to the cases of others while they serve their own souls. It is a common thing, especially when we are somehow knowledgeable of Scripture. Sometimes we listen to a message, maybe in the church we think of others who have done so and so. Oh, this message is about this person, it's about that person. Then our souls starved. Because if we should apply to ourselves first, we will never think of applying to others. It is the Spirit who have to apply the sermon to each individual, not us. I remember years ago, a missionary told me, these Americans, so that in the U.S., they have in their church, there was a fat man, he would sit in front, and he hold his peanuts. When the preacher is going, he'll be chewing it. And when the preacher holding a warning or a rebuke, and he said, do like this. That means it's not for him, it's for others at his back. It's interesting. And sometimes we don't do that physically, but in our heart, in our mind, that's what we do. And it is not profitable. Because if we see the seriousness of preaching, it's God's word to us. Maybe we might have done something wrong during the day. We are not even aware. But if we are attentive to the preaching, it might reflect, what I did was wrong. We repent. And our life before the Lord is refreshed. But if we don't look upon ourselves and apply the preaching to our cases, we tend rather to look upon others, and our sins remains with us, and we go worse and worse. So we ought also to pay attention when the sermon goes. So the preacher has to be careful to preach what is scriptural. Hearers also have to be careful, so they apply it to their various cases. Again, a preacher's life must reflect his own preaching, else he's a hypocrite. That's one thing a preacher, while hearers have to be careful so that they don't over-critic the sermon, so that to benefit them. The preacher owes the duty, and if I speak, it is my duty to also do what I have said. No one is above Scripture. If I'm warning, if I'm rebuking, I have to also rebuke myself. Before I preach, I have to preach the sermon to myself. Am I also at fault? Seek repentance. So the preacher is not above the hearer, neither the hearer, and the hearer also is to submit to whatever the preacher says. And he says, he should preach what? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Instant in season, out of season. He must always be ready to preach the gospel at all times. That's what it means. Meaning he must always make it his chief business to make the gospel known and never lose any opportunity to preach it. So that's the work of a preacher. Anywhere, everywhere, in season, time with favorable, times not favorable. Sometimes a preacher cannot say, today I cannot preach. No, it is his duty to always preach, whether at church meetings or wherever the need arises. And in his preaching, he must, we are told, reprove. His preaching must reprove. That is to convince. So he must employ sound arguments that will convince people of the truth of the gospel and their need of it. So preaching comes with argument. Remember when Apostle Paul went to Athens? He looked around and saw the idols, the inscription he had heard, and said, oh, I can see that you people are so much superstitious. Then he began to preach, then he bring in argument. And what was his argument is that there's no God than God alone. And Christ has died and resurrected. And that is where their hope should be. And he would argue with them. And he would bring out many things that idols are nothing and that God has made us with one blood and that they owe allegiance to God. So the preacher has to also convince people, convince sinners with good, sound arguments from Scripture. So it's not about me coming to preach. I should be able to also from Scripture convince men that the truth of Scripture is to be believed. It's something worthy to take in. And not only that, to rebuke. That is to censure and to disapprove. So he must denounce those who will not forsake sin and warn them of the consequence of sin. It's a preacher's duty. So when a preacher is warned against, it's not that he hates somebody. It is the duty of the preacher to do that. Whether he is to warn, because that's what the Bible always does. When we are to be warned about the consequence of sin by using examples of Scripture. The Bible is written for us so that we, by patience, by help, when we read them. We have seen people living sinfully against God. When you read the book of the kings of Israel, we see God is so favorable to a king, and then he comes, he does a little good, then he sins, he becomes worse off, and then other kings will come. So these things are all examples to us, to warn us that, remember, I listened about Ahab and his family, and many kings of the northern kingdom. See, when anyone comes, God will tell them, if you are faithful to me, I remember he even told Jeroboam, he said that, if you are faithful to me, I'll give the kingdom to your first, second, and to your fourth generation. But the Bible says that he never gave heed to the word of God, and went on sinning and sinning. So, after him, God had to finish his descendants, including beginning, and turn over the kingdom again. These things are example for us to see that if we continue sinning, no matter who we are, God will deal with us. So you see, the Scripture has so much example to also rebuke us. Any one of us, Scripture rebukes us to that we will sit in check and see that God, we cannot trifle with God. We cannot deal slightly with His word. And also to exhort, that is to comfort. The preacher must be able to comfort. The preacher must be able to comfort. What? He must comfort the weak and afflicted. You know, believers, we are often afflicted. We are often in doubt and so much fears that we ought to be comforted from the preaching of the word of God. So the preacher must show by the certainty of the promise of God that God is to be trusted. God is with us. God hears us when we pray. God is able to deal with us as his children. We deal with us as our Father. And many other promises of Scripture so that we shall have hope and rest ourselves in it. So the preaching must do all this. But what do we find preaching today on the radio and television and many what does it do? One, somebody might just teach a doctrine, and that is all. Somebody might just say one thing, that is all. Preaching must bring all these things. So it's a great duty. So that when a preacher is coming to preach, he has to look into all this. How is my preaching going to be? Am I going to speak as the Lord requires of me? I remember I read, they said that in the 10th century, there was one bishop. When they read this portion of Scripture, that the preaching is a charge from God, they said that he never laughed again. Always serious, because he has a greater burden on him. When you ask him, he said that, I have a charge, and I cannot laugh. It's a heavy duty to deal with souls. It's a real thing. He said that bishop, from the day he was initiated into the preaching ministry, he never laughed again. He never joked. Because he said that Jesus never laughed. You never read the Bible anywhere it is written that Jesus laughed. Yes, he was with people, but he has a serious business. Or you hear that John the Baptist never laughed. Or some of the prophets of old never laughed. Yes, we can have jokes and that, but then it tells us how serious a preacher must be. And how a preacher must see himself. So it's not a light thing to be a preacher of the word of God. And what does he have to do with all this to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort? He said, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Though he has to be serious with all this, but he has to be patient. And also instruct little by little with patience. He has to bear with those who will not listen to him. He doesn't have to quarrel with those who don't listen. He doesn't have to be bitter if people are not listening to him. No, he has to. Remember, Jonah was bitter against Nineveh. God told him to go and pray to them. And even he told God that this is for, oh Lord, they are so sinners, I don't think they can repent. And God said, go. When he ran away, he went and the fish swallowed him, vomited it. Now he went and preached. And when they have repented, he told God that, he was so bitter against them because he thought they were too much, they were great sinners. No. No one is greater sinner before God. We are all the same. So the preacher has to see then that God deals with us in kindness so that he should not be bitter against anyone. But he should continue to preach with patience, with constant instruction for the Bible, which is suitable to every case as and when we come to preach. Instruction for the church of Christ for receiving preaching of the word of God. Apostle Paul tells us in, shall we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's some instruction very nicely for us to consider. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. He says that, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, that is those who labor in word and doctrine, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. These instructions are to those who are to admonish, who are to be preachers, who are to be the officers of the church. It says what? They should do such things with what? With love. Not in a way of unkindness. And also, the church have to have high view, not to see them as superhuman, but this. It is the work of God, and that they should accord them that, love us. It's not that they are there to crash people down. They are there to help us as we all help each other in the way of the Lord. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is the reason why Apostle Paul charges Timothy to preach the word. Because soon, he said that the time will come the church in Ephesus will not endure sound doctrine. So he should preach it. He should make the sound teaching so that before that time comes, that the people are warned, people are aware of that. That's why he said that he should preach in instances out of season. He should take every opportunity to preach the word of God. It was that so many in the church of Ephesus will not desire or tolerate sound teaching. It is interesting. Remember, Apostle Paul charged to the Ephesian elders at Miletus in Acts chapter 20. He told them that I know that you will not see my face again. But he said that soon after my departure, will grievous wolves come in and they will not spare the flock. So this charge to Timothy still refers to that. He knew that first the Judaizers who were teaching law as a requirement for Christians and other world flock who were also coming to where they were there. And he knew that they would try to influence. So Timothy should preach the word. He should ground the truth of the Bible. He should preach the sound teaching of Scripture, which is the Bible, which is for the well-being of the souls. The truth of Scripture. So he should what? In season, out of season. Because they will not endure sound doctrine. So soon they shall turn their ears into light, as we tell us, as we go on. They will not endure sound doctrine. They cannot tolerate teachings that reprove worldliness, love of money, high ambitions, false teaching, and rebuke the obstinate sinners and backsliders. Many at that time will not. And it's not the same in our time also. When you tell people about not to love the world, love of money, and have high ambition, what would they tell you? No, they will say no, that's not what the Bible teaches them. They cannot also tolerate teaching that exhort sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believers to love, devotion, and submission of their wills to God, which bring true comfort to their souls. While you tell people, this is the way that we shall have joy and peace in our Christian life, submission to the will of God in terms of trials, and our devotion to the Lord, whatever our circumstances are, people don't want to hear. But this is where the comfort of the Christian is. When, remember what Apostle Paul said, that when our troubles abound, I'm just paraphrasing, then our comfort and joy in Christ also abounds. If do you want to feel more comfort in the Spirit, do you want to see more peace of Christ, let trouble come. And if you're a faithful Christian and endure, trusting in His word, then we see where He pours in the comfort. But if we don't rest our hopes on Him, when troubles come, we cannot have that joy for which you might be a Christian, but you never have that joy. You will never have that joy to really rest your hope in Christ. So, they cannot also tolerate teaching that exhort believers to live in holiness, submission to Christ, and insist on the necessity of bearing their crosses and self-denial. Teaching that tells us that though there may be things in the world that are not sinful by themselves, but if we deny them, we'll be able to serve Christ well, we'll be able to pray more, we'll be able to read our Bible more, we're able to have time for things of our souls. There may be many things you do that might not be sinful, but if we deny such things, we shall be more useful. But yes, how many people want to hear that? People just want to know that if it's not sinful, they'll do. But you know, for a Christian, a true Christian, there are many things that are not sinful, or just we ought not to do, so that we have time for spiritual duties. They cannot also tolerate teaching that exhort believers to desire their eternal home to be with Christ and despise the vain and prideful stay on earth. How many believers desire that we should always put our hope on things in heaven and that we should despise vain things of the earth? Even if we have them, it should be nothing to us. Our hope should be that one day we'll be with Christ. Sometimes we only think that, oh, it's suffering Christians alone who have to hope that they will be in heaven. Maybe they wish they are dying. No, even in a time of our prosperity, that should be our hope. That prosperity, to the Christian is nothing. Whether in prosperity or in adversity, I wish to be with Christ. That is what sound doctrine is about. And he said that the Ephesians will not endure. And many in our times also, though Christians, they seem not to endure, they seem not to tolerate such teachings. But what will happen to them if they do not endure? But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having 18 years? After their own lust, that is, those that cannot tolerate sound doctrines will rather seek after the kind of preaching that will please their fleshy desires. After their own lust, things that will tickle as we go on 18 years, those preaching that will pamper their sins and praise them as good. Will tell them, oh yes, there are wrongs in your life, but you are a good person. I mean, harness your ambitions and your skill, and that is what will make you happy. They want that preaching, and that's what is being found around through many churches these days. And what they will learn after their own lust, shall they heap themselves teachers having 18 years? That is, they shall seek for varieties of these false teachers who will be telling them more of the things they desire to hear, so that they will hear this preacher and move on to the other preacher. They want to have a lot of this because this preacher will exhort them in this way about the things of the world. And other also maybe will tell them to have entertainment. Other also will tell them that sin is not sin. And so they move on because that is what is pleasing to them. Because they have 18 years, taken years, they just want to hear and be entertained as spectators in a theater, listening to a comedian. That's what many people want preaching to be. Like enjoying the preaching because like a comedian trying entertaining me at the theater. And that is what many people go to church to do. Because the preaching is not able to make them to even live in holiness. It's like being entertained at the theater. But preaching is not like that. Preaching is not for entertainment. It's to show us the mind of Christ. As I said, it's not the same preaching that is going on in many churches today. You are the head, you are not the tail. And I receive it. And the preacher will say one word, and then he will quote a promise. Oh, I receive. That's what people want these days. They want to receive. They want to receive blessings. Many want to hear the promise of God and claim it for themselves, and even try to even bow down for it. But they hate to hear obedience that promises demand. Remember, whatever promises God gave to the Israelites that these people claim for themselves, there is a responsibility. God does not tell, even, do you know why the Israelites lost
the promised land because they were disobedient. God told them, if you do not continue to obey me, you'll be destroyed in the land I'm going to give you. But these people who claim these promises and forget about the warnings that God told them, and even what that judgment that came onto Israel when they have sinned against God, God has to destroy them so that original promised land and all the kingdom, they lost everything. And yet people claim the promises and don't think about the responsibility that is calling. Those are not sound teachings. Those teachings are false because they claim sweet things as they are like the people in Prophet Isaiah's time. Look at what he says in Isaiah chapter 39. He says that this people is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophet, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit, prophesy the things that are not according to the law. The law demands our obedience, but don't prophesy to us by the law. Prophesy to the things, to our things that are smooth, things that will help us to continue in our life and will not be alarmed that there's God who is watching over us. And that is what people are doing today. People don't want to hear warnings, rebukes and instructions from the word of God. And verse 4. What would they do if they turn their ears to, if they keep teachers having itching ears themselves, if they do this after their own life, what would they do? Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth as a result of their rejection to hear the sound teaching. If they can't hear the sound thing, then they will turn their ears from it. But when they hear this sound teaching, they can be helped by the Lord to delight in truth. But no, they will not. So now their ears cannot feed on God's truth. You see, many people who have been enjoying these prosperity teachings, if they are your friends and you try to teach them anything from Scripture, they will never take it. They don't see any, propriety in you telling them this is truth. No. They are so much consumed with the lies that the Bible says they choose what the prophets have said. The Bible says they choose what the so-called man of God have said. That is what the Bible is saying. They have grounded themselves with lies. Truth cannot enter into their ears. That's what the Bible is saying. So they cannot feed on God's truth. Even if they hear it, it doesn't affect them. Their faith is like you pour water on stones. What happens? They are washing the stone. In the stone, the water cannot get there. So they become deflectors of God's truth instead of being absorbers of God's truth. Why they have to take in, they rather deflect it from their life. So that is the mind of those who cannot take in God's truth. And what would they do? When they cannot take in, what would they do? And shall be turned unto fable. Their ears only can enjoy vain stories. Listen to some of these so-called big preachers. So if you listen to them on radio, and then when I travel to this place, and this thing happened, and then I went and money, business, whatever, and they tell stories, and then amen, I receive, and they are closed. That is all that is happening. Look, you listen to them, you see what they will say. And it is so upset. And people, so a large crowd, and they are just listening to this nonsense. And yet the Bible is there. People don't care about that. So, in coming to conclusion, let us also learn that the motivational speakers and from these prosperity preachers of our day is the preference of many. And what do these people teach? They only teach life stories and what? Worldly philosophy. They ground people's hopes in the things of the world and the wisdom of the world. They proclaim peace to sinners while God's word says there's no peace to sinners. So they are opposite of God's what God demands. Let us also learn that true Christians' obedience to Christ, to our Lord, can also be adversely affected if we listen to these false teachers and they become our delight. It's interesting, if we also give our ears to them and we don't know much of God's truth, their teachings will affect us so that our obedience to the Lord will be affected. Yet we'll be Christians, but then we shall have deformity in our faith. Many ideas that weaken faith and love to Christ often come from listening to unsound teachings. Yes, somebody who might be a Christian in a good church, but when his ears somehow is tuned into these things and he entertains himself with it, the truth you know will be weakened. You cannot be strong in your teaching, in the hold to truth again. Some Christians also, for instance, when it comes to worship, you know why even some true Christians cannot really enjoy reverent worship? It's because, you know, reverent worship is regulated and truly in the fear of the Lord, because in their private lives, and then their homes, and their private way of life, they associate themselves with the modern theatrical worship. You see, they privately they enjoy such things. And also this gospel hip-hop rock song, which they say gospel hip-hop, whatever, which excite the flesh, and the mind and the heart. So when even a true believer listens to this music and this kind of worship, though he doesn't attend worship there, when he attends true sound and reverent worship, he cannot enjoy it that much, because he has been what? Tainted with the things that do not profit him. So let us look at this instruction from Apostle Paul, which gave to Timothy, but it's for all of us to be careful, to maintain and to entertain the truth that we know, and to continue to learn more, and that we will not infiltrate it with other things which will weaken our trust in the Lord and our obedience to Him. For instance, you hear some of these preachers who joke about sin constantly. For all you know, sin becomes nothing to you. When temptation comes, you are weakened, because your mind is somehow tuned to the fact that sin is nothing. Though you know that doctrinally sin is wrong, and you move on and you disobey the Lord. So let us be careful, and may the Lord help us to consider this thing, that preaching is necessary for the growth of the Christian, our obedience to the Lord, and our grounds on faith. May we turn